Hail cheaters, welcome to the Always Cheating Fantasy Podcast. My name is Josh. I'm here with Brandon. Brandon, how are you?
I'm good, Josh. Sometimes we can bury the lead when we open the podcast, but I'm just going to come right out and say it. I'm advancing in the cup this round, game week 17. Wow. You know, not a lot of great news for me to report, but going to advance in the cup.
Congratulations to you. Looks like huge. I'm in advance as well. Very exciting news. I don't think I've ever made it past two rounds of the Premier League Cup or whatever they call it, the Fantasy Cup. It's like I always lose to some dead team who like hasn't changed their team in 8 weeks and has, you know, some like a Chris Wood captained or something like that. And that's always like the week that Chris Wood gets a brace or something. So exciting for both of us.
The world of FPL online, you can have a lot of sort of secret humble braggers out there that are like, hey, 99 points this week, one left to play, all out. Is that any good?
Right.
And you're like, come on, I know what you're trying to do. But yeah, with the FPL Cup through the official fantasy site, you can have people out there that are like, I advanced to the fourth round of the FPL Cup. Is that any good? And I think that's a genuine question that people are asking.
Yeah, that's
because
true. Is it any?
This cup is shrouded in mystery. No one really knows anything about it.
I mean, to
it.
Win, I don't even know what the odds would be to win the whole thing. It's got to be, the odds have got to be as like random as Magnus Carlsen actually being number one in the world right now. Can you, that's not even on the running order, but can you believe how insane that is?
It's really insane. The fact that we've been talking about Magnus for a couple of years now. He sort of emerged as an FPL celebrity, like, hey, did you know this guy plays FPL? And then in a season and a half later, suddenly he's number one.
By like 20 points.
It's really mind-boggling.
Yeah.
It's hard for anyone to do it, let alone a guy you've actually heard of to do it.
I mean, yeah, it's incredibly hard. I mean, I don't know anyone who's even – I mean, like, I guess there are a couple people who, like, have finished in the top 10 – or number one, what did Simon, March win it? Or he was in the top, I don't know, you know, there's a couple people who like are on Twitter who wonder if finished in the top 10, but you know, in general, I mean, even like among our friends, even the people in the fantasy world, like I think, you know, top 100 alone is like an incredible, you know, but number one to be like the also the greatest chess player in the world. It's actually very cool because it does make you feel like this is a, to at least a certain degree, a game of skill, you know, and a game that can be gamed, I guess, right? That can, you know, that you can actually do some things that are optimal and sort of break away from your peers. And, you know, there's like, you know, that you can actually be number one. You know, sometimes like I feel like there's a feeling that like a kind of group thing that can take over and everyone can have very similar teams. And, you know, it's like a guaranteed way to finish in the top 100,000 or something like that. And we're actually going to talk more about end of season targets in a little bit. But that you can kind of do that strategy and then make a few little tweaks and suddenly find yourself number one overall. It's very cool. You know, it makes you feel like you can actually maybe win this game someday, even though, you know, it's very unlikely.
Well, that's the thing. Like, Magnus is number one at the world at chess, and now he's number one at the world at something else that people know about. I think about our friend Jeremiah Johnson, who finished like in the top 200 overall in the world one season. And I'm trying to scratch my head. Is Jeremiah good at anything else? Probably not.
Isn't he one of those, like, he does like ultra marathons or something, right? So maybe.
Yeah, the Spartan races. Like he's a very accomplished fellow in his personal life. But in terms of things that are going to get him on the front page of the New York Times, I'm not sure.
Yeah, not so much, perhaps. I'm not sure that being number one in fantasy will get you in the New York Times either, sadly. maybe someday, but I don't think we're quite there yet. So, Brandon, game week 17 it's 9/10 in the books. Today's theme, actually, is it's really all about game week 18. Now, typically, we try to take a longer lens, but game week 18 is a really tricky game week for a lot of reasons. One is because Liverpool and West Ham aren't playing. Liverpool will be in Qatar. Maybe they've already left for Qatar for the Club World Cup. And there are also no bona fide captain picks this game week. I think it's as up in the air as it's been all season. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, completely agree. I think it's going to be a really tough decision. And I think it's with Liverpool out being like the number one pool of FPL assets and then Leicester and City trying to nullify themselves, whether they will at the end of the day is anyone's guess. It's like it feels like a ton of heavy hitters are suddenly off the board and it's causing a lot of anxiety.
It really is. And then you couple it with things like Man United blanking today, and suddenly, you know, Marcus Rashford as kind of the runaway captain pick doesn't feel quite, you know, feel quite as, you know, confident in that. So I think it's really, it's going to be very interesting. We're going to talk a lot more about that. So this podcast is really going to be focused on Game Week 18 strategies for it, transfers you might make, players that you, you know, there's a big question about, like, do I hold on to Mane? Do I hold on to my Liverpool defenders? And we're going to talk about that as well. So, but before we do, Brandon, whatever your name is, Game Week 17 score check. How are you doing this game week?
I will run through my team and my score rather quickly because I think you should take the ticker tape this week. But right now, with Matt Ryan left to play, I'm 57 points, which is 6 above the current game week average. And it's been a discouraging game week as far as my transfers are concerned. So I had 2 frees coming into the game week and dropped Sterling and Jimenez, who both returned, and I did that to bring in Dele Alli and Marcus Rashford, who both blanked.
Yep.
So that was a miss of 11 points. And then Grealish, who, you know, players of this caliber will miss penalties. Any player will miss penalties. It was less the Grealish miss penalty for me, and it was more, I feel like the Grealish bandwagon will really be in full swing come game week 18. Mm-hmm. And with the goal from Grealish in game week 16 and him getting the penalty in 17, that was my opportunity to really cash in on Grealish as a differential. And I missed the boat there. So that's the real disappointment. I don't want to be sour grapes that he put it off the bar. That's just, it is what it is from an FPL perspective. I feel like I really wanted to gobble up those points. Captain on Vardy, okay, that's okay.
Sure. And he returned, you know. Yeah, it was fine.
He returned. So that's groovy.
You know, and neither of us have Madison. I will say neither of us have Madison. So in a way, I didn't really mind that went down as an assist and an own goal. You know, I think that maybe net that actually I may have come out ahead, even though he didn't get any bonus points in the match. Didn't mind that one too much.
Honestly, you count yourself lucky that Tim Krul was just adrift on that corner kick and didn't know anything about his positioning, it seemed.
Yeah.
And it went from what wouldn't have been a goal to an assist for all of our captains.
That's true. It's kind of hard to the trajectory of that ball. It's hard to say, right? It may have gone in, but it's, I don't know. I don't know how he gets so unmarked on that near post header anyway. That was crazy.
I know how he does. Norwich are terrible at defense.
That's true. So, all right, fair enough.
I mean, we all got the Lundstrom points, and all hail Lord Lundstrom. Fantastic to see him back with an 11-pointer. I was feeling a little discouraged going into Sunday, but Kevin De Bruyne, who we both have in our mid, Josh, that really bolstered my score, and it's kept me almost at a gray dot at this point.
Yep.
So I'm hoping to get a clean sheet from Matt Ryan against Palace to maybe just help bolster my score a little bit.
I think even if you got like three,
that's where
if you even got like 3 points from him tomorrow, I think that's enough to be on a gray arrow or maybe even a little green, you know? So I think we talked on the podcast a few weeks ago about like the difference between like a catastrophic game week and a borderline kind of bad game week. And I do feel like that De Bruyne return made it just kind of like a bad one, you know, you know, it's like, it's still frustrating, but it's like, it, you know, and like, I know people are like, oh, everyone has to come into De Bruyne, but it really isn't true. I mean, you know, 62% of the game doesn't have this guy, you know? So when he comes through with, you know, 2 goals, assists and 3 bonus points, that is a massive return for anybody that has him in their team.
So where I am right now is I feel like I'm a vehicle that has been stuck in the snow or have been stuck in the mud for a couple months. Now, you're from Michigan. You're from driving country, Josh. Uh-huh. What do you do if your car is stuck and you're behind the wheel? Yeah. What do you instruct you to do?
You burn the snow. You get out your flamethrower and you burn all the snow around you. And you drive off cackling with joy.
No, you're meant to drive a little bit forward, a little bit backward. You're supposed to rock yourself out of it, a little bit forward, a little bit backward. And then suddenly you just ride a little bit of momentum out of the place that you're stuck
in.
And I have just been rocking back and forth the last couple of months. And I'm starting to get really frustrated that I'm not able to get out of this stuck position. Yeah. So, I don't know. I'm going to try not to panic.
Yeah. I mean, the Grealish one, when I was watching that match and I felt bad for you because, that was it was a creative move. You made it early and it, you know, it's like, that's not, I don't know. Like that's just bad luck. Like you said, you know, like sometimes you're going to hit the bar, you know, and that's just, but you know, so I hear you. I mean, I think,
sometimes you hit the bar and sometimes the bar hits you.
I think there's just some, like, it was a kind of unusual week in some ways. I mean, you know, in ways that really helped me, I will say, and I guess I'll use this opportunity to transition to my team a little bit because, you know,
yeah, please go ahead.
So I'm on 87 points all out. It was a huge, huge game week for me. I'm up to 157K as of this recording. So that's it's almost 400,000 rank boost in the last two game weeks. So feeling very good about, that's like 350,000. But, you know, feeling very good about that. And, you know, but for me, it was the best game. Okay. Like, it's not just about the score sometimes. It's the players who, it's just like you're talking about, right? It's like the players who get the points for you are what can be so crucial. And so, you know, Mo Salah coming through with 16 points, Van Dijk with 7, even Nick, you know, Pope, who everyone's been sort of ragging on, coming through with a ho-hum 6-point clean sheet, you know, that was awesome as well. And, Jimenez, came through with 5, and just sort of everything clicked, you know. And I brought in De Bruyne too, which, you know, I did that two game weeks ago, mostly because I was just watching these matches and I felt like, I just felt like he was such a danger that I was really going to cost myself if I didn't have my team. Like, something like this was bound to happen. And so when he gets 1 point last game week, I was like, was it a mistake to invest in Man City? And then, you know, 2 minutes into the Arsenal match, you're like, nope, this guy is like, you just have to have him. You know, he's the best player in the league this year, I think. So, but then just as importantly, if not even more importantly, was Rashford blanks and Tammy blanks, Son blanks and Madison blank. The four most highly owned players that I don't have in my team blanked as well. And without something like that, it's very hard for a big. So that's really the, you know, that, so that was what really made it a, you know, really dynamic game week. And I don't mean to sound like I'm, you know, I don't want to go on about this or whatever, but it was very, you know, it worked out incredibly well. And so I think the trick here is to, because I actually had a pretty good game week, you know, two game weeks, or I guess it was three game weeks ago, before I kind of came crashing down the following game week. And so I feel like I kind of got away with something a little bit. And I have two free transfers. I didn't burn a transfer this week. And so part of my plan right now is to start bringing in those players that I didn't have. You know, I lucked out. I threaded the needle this game week. And now I want to start getting those players in so that I'm a little more covered, you know. That's actually, you know, that's what I want to talk about in a couple minutes, because I think that it's really interesting right now. You know, if you don't have Rashford, if you don't have Son, even Grealish, you know, like, who's the most important player to have for game week 18? I think it's a really interesting and tricky question. So, let's get into that in just a second, Brendan. I have a rant of the week here from Simon Cullen, and he says, because of price rises and falls and frustration at KDB and Sterling over the past few game weeks, I took a -8 to bring in Son and Dele. I'm going to drop from the top 20K to outside the top 100,000, possibly 150,000 in 1 week.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, was it frustration? I mean, I think that dropping Sterling seemed reasonable. I don't know. I mean, I, you know, when you told me, you and I had lunch on Friday, and I don't know. I mean, those moves both made sense to me. So I think it's a mistake sometimes to see the results and think, wow, I'm like a genius. You know, I got it right this game week. And sometimes you just get lucky, you know, and, or unlucky, as it were.
I had said it a few weeks ago, my concern over Manchester City was they weren't scoring that quintessential Manchester City goal, which was a low pass through the 6-yard box from wide for a tap in. Mm-hmm. And they scored that goal through KDB to Sterling against Arsenal today. But my concern is still, it was just the one, and KDB appeared to be the only truly dynamic player for City. So I think the lesson that I take away from that City Arsenal match is still KDB is the best FPL asset to own. And if you had recently dropped Sterling, such as myself, I wouldn't be kicking myself about it. I think that what we saw against Arsenal sort of affirms what we felt to be true about Sterling, and Sterling didn't really achieve anything else beyond that tap in that KDB served to him.
Right. Missed a big chance late. I'm actually a little surprised he finished on two bonus points, because I feel like he missed that big chance, and he had a couple of fouls too. But I guess there just weren't a lot of other people. Kevin De Bruyne kind of gobbled up all the attacking returns. So opened the window for him to get some bonus points.
And just for Simon, with, you know, really crushing it this season, being able to drop from 20K, that's a position of privilege to drop from. And I was around that position this time last season, and I took a couple of drops going into Christmas. And that is the beauty of the period we're entering, is all these game weeks that are going to pile up. You could be back right up at 20K before you know it with a few well-constructed transfers. So like, don't panic and sink in that quicksand, Simon. I think you're okay.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, 20, you know, at this point, I mean, it's still so tight. I mean, the difference between 150 and 300,000 is, you know, 10, 12 points, something like that. It's not much. So, I wouldn't worry too much about it right now. Of course, it's frustrating, but I wouldn't worry too much about it. All right, Brendan, that leads us right into our Game Week 18 discussion. But first, quick thank you to the new Always Cheating patrons.
Yes, much love to our Patreon supporters new this week at the Lord Sorloth tier. Thanks to Jolie, Jason Seaman, Stephen Knight, Kenneth McGill, Terrence O'Donnell, and at the Pookie level, Journeyman Joe. Welcome, Joe. Big thanks to all of you. If you want to learn more about what it is to support the Always Cheating podcast, to support what Josh and I do here every week, just visit patreon.com/alwayscheating. It's a way for you to say thank you, support the pod through a little bit of financial means, and you get tons of cool stuff in return. You get access to our Slack private chat forum where you can chat with me and Josh and lots of other great managers and good people. And you get access to a bonus podcast every week. Tons of good stuff. So yeah, go to patreon.com/alwayscheating for more. All right, we're back. And as Josh mentioned at the top of the podcast, today's main topic is Game Week 18. No, it's not the long view. It's the short view. And of course, what makes Game Week 18 very interesting is our lack of Liverpool options. And it's tricky. Like, I'm looking at Josh, I'm looking at your team, and you've got three Liverpool assets. And I tried to run this obstacle course the last month or so with virtually no Liverpool assets. I only had Trent. And I can't say I came out unscathed, but now here we are. It's that window of time where Liverpool is meant to not be a factor at all, even if they tried. So Liverpool and West Ham blank in Game Week 18, and then Liverpool 3 days later, after they get back from the Club World Cup in Qatar, they are away at the King Power to play Leicester, which, you know, I'm kind of the mind that there is truly no bad fixture home away against any team for Liverpool. However, if they were going to come up against anyone, Leicester is the one that definitely makes you think about, could I get even more creative with my transfer planning through Game Week 18 and 19? So we've got a number of questions from you listeners, and we're just going to dig deep into our thoughts about what to do with current Liverpool assets and maybe who to dump, when to bring back, and so on and so forth. So let's just start with your bus team, Josh, and your transfer thinking.
Yeah,
you've got Van Dijk, you've got Trent, and you have Mo Salah, who is suddenly back to fireball form. What are you thinking?
Yeah, so it's really interesting. And I have a question. I put a question of my own in the running order, Brandon. So maybe I'll bump that up to the top here.
Selfish.
Yeah. I have three Liverpool players, and I have Ryan Fredericks, who hilariously he's not just out for Game Week 18. He's also out for Game Week 19 because he picked up a yellow card and is suspended for Game Week 19. So that's fun. It's like
Do they not have a cup match midweek, or is West Ham already out of the cup?
The site says he's suspended until December 28th. So that would be after
Boxing Day. I'll take the site's word for it.
Yeah. I'm kind of confused again about how about how suspensions work this season. I feel like it's been explained to me, but it's like I feel like it was explained to me in different ways and somebody was wrong and now I can never get it right in my head, you know?
I'm sorry, we're dumb, okay? I'm sorry, dear listener, but we're dumb. Yeah.
So the question for me, okay, so I've got two Liverpool defenders and I have Mo Salah and Fredericks, I'm, you know, whatever, that's its own thing. Fredericks is in some ways is irrelevant because his price is so cheap that there's really like no – he doesn't help me, you know? Like I can't like burn him down to enable another move or anything like that. So – the question for me is clearly one of my Liverpool defenders is going to go, and there's no reason not to move either one. I bought Trent kind of late in the game, so there's no value really for him. Van Dijk is down from a starting value. Mo Salah is the interesting one, and I have decided already that I'm just going to keep Mo Salah. You know, it actually helps in some ways that they play Leicester away in game week 19 because it means he's almost certainly going to play in that match. You know, if their game week 19 fixture was – I wouldn't necessarily make it easier, but I could at least see him rotating if they were like, you know, home to Norwich in game week 19 or something like that. You know, but because they're away to Leicester, you have to think he's going to play in that match. And just in his form, I feel like
it's kind of a 6-pointer, even though Liverpool are kind of running away with it at this point, it's kind of a 6-pointer. So I agree.
Yeah, it's
you.
About as big a match as you're going to get given how far they are ahead right now, you know, especially being on the road. And I think just a good rule of thumb is if the player you're transferring out is a player you're going to immediately want to bring back into your team, just don't transfer them out, you know? And I feel like where Salah is right now and that that first goal, I would like to think that, I mean, I don't know, it's like you can never separate fantasy from the way you watch anymore, but that first goal was beautiful. I mean, oh, just such a great goal, in the Watford match, and it was like classic Mo Salah. You know, it was like he had the pace back, shot it on his right foot, which is kind of impressive too. You know,
his weak foot.
Just outmuscled the defender. It was just a beautiful goal. And then the second goal was kind of a cheeky,
crazy how he embarrassed the Watford defense of all defenses.
Be that as it may, it was the whole play, right? From the like kind of side-footed Firmino ball forward, you know, to Mane's pass. I mean, they've scored some incredible counterattacking goals this year. And then the kind of cheeky, you know, through the legs finish for the second goal too. And you're like, this guy is just in great form. So I think Mo stays because I would just want to bring it back in anyway. And then the question for me is whether I drop one Liverpool defender or two. And the question then becomes, who do I want to bring in? And I have this, the question that I had here was Grealish, Son, and Rashford, who is most important? So it would be fairly easy for me. I've got two free transfers. I could drop my Liverpool defenders and drop Tielemans. So I'd burn four. And then I'd be able to bring Son into my squad. If I did it right and I brought in two super cheap defenders, I could actually make those moves, bring in Son for a -4, and then have enough money to move Jimenez to Rashford in game week 19, which I think is a really possibly interesting move. Although I wonder if I might just roll with Jimenez kind of indefinitely because – I thought he looked so good today. I mean, I know he's not like picking up a ton of goals right now, but he's so active. I mean, you know, it feels like just bad luck that he hasn't scored more goals in the last couple of matches. You know, and I've got three assists from him in the last.
Wolves on the whole, that entire team performance for Wolves, I was really impressed by. They didn't look hindered at all by the mid-season fatigue and their Europa League commitments. They were all over the ball, and I agree. And always a good sign for Jimenez is Diego Jota coming into form. And Jota looks really exceptional out there, too.
Could you believe that Troyer scored that goal? I was stunned. Like, I could not believe he scored it.
Troyer, yeah. You could certainly argue that Troyer was the best player on the pitch for Wolverhampton. And it's like he's on a totally, to state the obvious, he's on another level this season. And I don't know if it was like basketball style, just go out into the gym, just shoot 3-point shots all summer. But he clearly worked on his shooting. I mean, look at that brace that he scored against Man City. And he's working on it. And something's working. And I mean, that He is the coolest looking guy in the Premier League right now.
He's so ripped.
He's like hulking out of his uniform. He looks so dope. He looks
He really does. I mean, he's so unique. And I mean, it's I'm glad that he's added a little bit of attacking output to his form, because without it, it's like, you're like, well, is it all for show? You know, like, is there anything in this, you know? But because he's been able to add.
Right. Is he just out there carrying water, yeah, or can he do anything? And it turns out actually he can't.
Yeah. And we're talking about a 5 million midfielder with 3 goals and 3 assists on the season. And so I don't know. So that's like, okay, here's like another thing I could do. All right. I don't want to get too into my own team talk here, because I could spend an hour on that and that would be boring for everybody. But I could move Trent to target. I could move Tielemans to Traore, and I could move Moussai to Rashford. And that would be interesting, right? That'd be kind of fun. Okay. Leave me a couple million left over.
Yeah.
So I don't know. You brought in Rashford this game week. I mean, I asked the original question about Grealish, mm-hmm, Son, and Rashford. What did you think about Rashford? Did you watch the entire Man United match, or were you double screening it? What was your take on the Man United match?
I was double screening it, and I am so sort of disinterested in what's going on at Everton right now that. And I had both Dele Alli and Son in that Spurs match, and it was a more dynamic game. Yeah. So I didn't catch too much of the United performance. I understand Rashford was really uninvolved, but you know, there are many other stats that you could throw at the listener, like it was Rashford's first FPL blank since game week 3, yeah, at Old Trafford. It was only his 6th blank out of 17 overall FPL game weeks. So, you know, I don't want it to just be a huge cloud of concern that suddenly hangs over Rashford. Like, uh-oh, was this an ill-formed bandwagon?
No.
I don't think it is. And I was talking with our friend James earlier today about this blank, and it kind of speaks to how Marcus Rashford has been able to fly under the FPL radar for so long this season, is that he's going to do this. He's going to have these blanks, but despite that, he's remaining consistent. And it certainly is true. There's a lot of truth to this idea that Manchester United are really raising their performance or how they set up and their speed and their counterattacking plays to top 6 sides. And when they come up to the lower table sides, they find it harder to patiently break them down. And maybe that is,
yeah,
a concern for Rashford. But even still, United have done that, yeah, this season. And I don't think it's just a straight litmus test.
Yeah, I think sometimes teams have to gel a little bit more too. I mean, this used to be a complaint that, like, when Jurgen Klopp first got to Liverpool, I remember this complaint would be leveled against them too. You know, they couldn't break down the simple, you know, it's like you almost have to like play with the kind of a consistent squad for a couple of years, you know, and kind of learn how to, you know, like to develop that kind of feel, you know, that you like. I mean, I was talking about that counterattacking score, the goal that Liverpool scored today. I mean, it was those three guys, you know, and I know they don't have anybody, you know, they don't have a Firmino, Mane, Salah combination, but it's that kind of like rapid, you could see it being a thing that could happen in a year or so with Man United, right? With like, you know, Daniel James, Rashford, Martial, you know, all maybe Greenwood. I don't know. Like, how good is that guy? I don't know. Is he really good? Or I don't, it's like he's interesting. No, I don't know. Who knows? No. We've seen like 80 total minutes of him this season.
So just more to the, I think what I do take away from Rashford's performance against Everton and then what we were saying about Jimenez and Wolves is, the problem is not that Rashford is suddenly a concerning asset. The problem is now it's even more a dead heat than ever between Rashford and Jimenez. So I think so many people were, like yourself included, I'm thinking, Josh, were kind of rolling up to game week 18 thinking, well,
right,
Jimenez,
right,
becomes Rashford.
Yep.
Poof, done. No problem. But now suddenly you have to make this.
It's a bigger decision. I mean, I certainly wouldn't do it in game week 18 because I'm actually seriously considering captaining Jimenez away to Norwich. I just see that as a match where Jimenez could really shine, and you know, so I think I'm kind of tempted by that. But yeah, going into game week 19, you know, I was definitely thinking about. I mean, they play Spurs. It's not a great run for Wolves after. after this game week 18 match. And so, I mean, they played Man City and Liverpool back-to-back matches. Now, they're a team that can actually do something against those top sides. And obviously, they beat – was it a 2-0 scoreline? Was that what it was when Wolves played at Man City? I think it was. So I don't know. Yeah, like you said, I mean, is – at this point, like, you know, Rashford – so let's see, Man United play Newcastle at home in game week 19. Wolves play Man City at home in game week 19. Given where Man City are defensively right now, I mean, it wouldn't like stun you if Jimenez outscored Rashford in that match, would it? I mean, I would not be stunned by that. So,
no.
So, yeah, I mean, I guess it's just very tricky, you know? I mean, when you think about game week 18, I mean, just to bring it back to that for a second, Chris says, game week 18 is full of tough fixed or difficulty ranking matches. For most players, there's no Liverpool. Are we going to see low scores? So just when we think, obviously we're building the podcast around game week 18, but I will add, is it possible that we're overthinking things a little bit, that you can plan and you can stress over it, but it may be that we just see a lot of scores in the 40s and 50s, and it's just kind of like a whatever game week, and you didn't really need to like spend too much energy on it because no one's going to like go off.
I come at it from the angle of, I think we are thinking about it too much. And that Joe guy asked us this question, would you consider a free hit this week? And I would say no for that very reason, in that I just don't see so many points in this match. Like, okay, maybe you want to hang on to your Liverpool assets, free hit them out and have them immediately back in game week 19. While that's an interesting strategy, it's like, who are you bringing in? The free hit tends to work if you're playing it during a blank game week when there is an obvious fixture that favors FPL, some FPL assets that you don't have and you want to bring them in. And I think it's just going to be more and than ever a guessing game if you free hit into this game week. So, yeah, I tend to think it's going to be on the lower scoring, uninteresting side of things. But, then that always ends up being the week in which somebody does something crazy. I don't know. But I think all signs point to it being kind of a low key game week.
I think so too. And the question is, speaking, I guess, one of the ways that can be real explosive game week is you have massive captain returns. And FPL Llama says, who are the best captain options for game week 18? So, we talk a lot about the bus team on this podcast, Brandon. Right now, who is your bus team captain for game week 18?
Yeah, boring me. I've got my captain on Marcus Rashford, who's away Watford. I do feel everyone out
there. Is
that
boring? I mean, I think that's, I don't know. That may not be the consensus pick.
Yeah, I'm curious to see what it is, because I guess I genuinely don't know. My vice captain right now is Son, who is home hosting Chelsea. And that was actually like a very peculiar and noteworthy fixture in game week 17, Chelsea hosting Bournemouth. And what happened there? Why couldn't Chelsea put this Bournemouth team to the sword, given all the injuries that they had? And how could they not even stand to keep a clean sheet? So Chelsea have always, they've had that in them this season where, Lampard's got them playing with confidence and they have a level of attacking flair, but are they as organized as, them advancing in the Champions League would lead us to believe? They could be got at. And Jose is going to want to murder this Chelsea club. So I think Spurs, there is something in the Spurs captaincy shout. I think that's going to be a pretty hard fought game. And as I was saying, Chelsea's defense isn't all that great. And I think they could be got at. So Son and Kane are definitely interesting differential shots.
When I think about the player who I don't have in my team who scares me the most in game week 18, it's definitely Son. I mean, I felt that way the entire Wolves match. I don't know if that's like an effective way to build a fantasy strategy, like just bring in the player who scares you the most. But I mean, I feel like I've heard worse strategies articulated, I just like, they play Chelsea at home. Chelsea is a team that is, they're certainly conceding goals, whether you think that they're in free fall or they're just kind of going through some youthful, whatever,
growing
having
pains.
Like a youthful growing pain. Yeah, exactly. But then they play Brighton at home, they play Norwich away, they play Southampton away. It's quite a good run, especially if you consider that Chelsea fixture to be a good fixture. You know, if you think of that as it's tough, but where you'd expect them to score some goals. We'll never talk about the Tottenham defense on here, right? Because neither of us are. Are you a believer in this? Yeah, get out of here.
No.
Come on. Yeah, exactly. So you've got Rashford, who is, I think, a reasonable pick. He's certainly very involved. You'd expect him to be. He's just involved. Like if Man United are scoring goals, he tends to be a factor in those goals, right? I mean, he's got 10 goals, but he also has 5 assists on the season, right? I mean, it's 1 assist for every 2 goals. So he's, super involved in the attacking play. I think he's a very reasonable captain shot as well.
I would also say Watford and Liverpool beating Watford 2-0 this weekend. I mean, it was a masterclass by Salah in some ways, but I think Liverpool actually didn't play all that well against Watford. What helped Liverpool was it was an absolute clown show with Watford. They were a joke, a total joke of a team. And if that's what's happening here, then, it should bolster your confidence putting the armband on Rashford.
I think I do think that there's Jimenez is a good shot as well. I mean, I think of, I could think of when Abraham scored a hat trick away to Wolves earlier this, or excuse me, away to Norwich earlier this season. Wesley had his best game away to Wolves a few game weeks ago. A lot of strikers have had very good moments, when they play Norwich or Carrow Road. So, I just think that especially because they open up a little bit more at home. And so I think it really does. And you could just imagine Traore linking up with Jimenez and, Traore would actually be a great, like if you're looking for Mike DiPietro, our producer patron had a question about best punt options for those this week who are wildcarded in game week 19, right? So if you have a transfer to and you're going to wild card out into a brand new team anyway in game week 19, who's just like a fun punt to have. And I think that Traore would be a great pick to have for game week 18. I don't know if I go so quite so far as to say like I would actually captain him, but he'd be a fun player to have in my squad for sure. So I think
similarly with Wolves, a punt, I would consider punting like you dumping an expensive defender, Matt Doherty on Wolves, I think is a great one week punt for this game week 18. A wonderful attacking defender who could very well get a clean sheet as well. There's a toe injury with Timu Pukki. I don't know how serious it is, but
interesting.
If Norwich are without Pukki, then I don't want to.
You don't want to live in that world. Yeah, I know. I hear it. Man City, we have to talk about them a little bit. I mean, Kevin De Bruyne, his first comment out of that match was that he regretted not scoring a hat trick in it. I mean, that's the kind of thing you want to hear from it's actually kind of annoying thing here, but it's also something you want to hear from a player who's your who's in your fantasy team, right? Because I mean, this guy, like he's up for it. He's going for it, And
I believe that was also his first Premier League brace. So a guy
right?
who scored
wow.
his first ever brace in the Premier League and suddenly he's regretful and mournful they didn't score 3.
Yeah. So I think that he, would be a very reasonable, again, like high floor. Like if you think it's going to be a low scoring game week and you just want to get something out of the player that you captain, I think it's reasonable to expect him to get something out of this match, an assist, possibly another goal. I don't know. So I think that he's a reasonable pick there as well. I don't know that he's quite as he's not as fun for some reason, maybe just because Leicester's defense is pretty solid and you kind of don't know what you're going to get week to week right now with Man City. One last shout though, Brandon. I think we have to mention him. It's Jamie Vardy away to Man City. I don't know that he's scoring several goals in this match, but I certainly wouldn't put him past him to score a goal in this match.
Yeah. What an incredible week for City and Leicester to play each other. Liverpool are running away with the title and their only chasers are City and Leicester just have a slight edge and now they have to come up against City. Mm-hmm. So it's sort of like they're going to beat each other to a pulp while Liverpool are off having a sunny vacation in Qatar.
Yeah.
It's just like, it couldn't be working out any better for them.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm with you. Vardy is, I don't have the courage to do it. I do think that Leicester midfield is going to be busier than they normally are. Vardy, it could be a game where Vardy is a little more starved for service than he is typically. So
yeah, but just like catch him on the break.
I'm a little concerned about that.
Yeah, I mean, just
could be
Vardy running at Fernandinho, you know, playing center back. I mean, I don't know. You could definitely see him pulling some of the bag of tricks. So I guess what we're saying is there's like 8 picks, you know, and I love that. And I hope that, you know, I mean, they're really, I do not think there'll be a consensus. I wonder, you know, by the end of the week, I think that Son will end up being the most captained player out of anybody in Game Week 18. I just think that the consensus will develop that Chelsea's defense isn't quite up for it at the moment, that Spurs are in good form, and if they're in good form, he's the kind of the safest pick in that squad. So I think that he will be the most captain player. But I think we just named 7 or 8 other options too. So it's pretty exciting. And I think in a week like this, it is kind of fun to maybe Jack Grealish. We didn't talk about him either. I think that he's, you know, a pretty reasonable pick as well at home to Southampton.
Okay. I can't really go there right now. I'm sorry, but I can't.
No, totally. He looked good. I mean, he's looked good the last couple of game weeks though.
He looks fine. This Villa team is somewhat vexing in that you watch them and you think, oh, this team looks like they've been in the league for a few seasons now. But then you look at their table placement, you look at their actual results, and you have to be a little concerned about them. And
that is so true. I could not agree with you more on that.
Players like John McGinn and their other midfielders who are kind of fading away, which is nice that it's allowing Grealish to come to the fore, but their attack, it's kind of like a Model T at some points.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, by the way, because there's something so – maybe it's because their midfield is so good, and they never get embarrassed, it seems like, you know, but they just keep – it seems like they just continue to be in
– True, that's a good point.
They continue to be on the losing end of these, like, 2-1s and 2-0s, and, you know, it's like they just
– Yeah.
Yeah, so I kind of with you. And so when I think about, you know, to go back to my original question about Grealish, Son, and Rashford, Grealish has to be third because I just don't, that team doesn't scare me as much. And I think, you know, Son seems the most important, Rashford second, Grealish third. So we talked a little bit about some punt options. Just one last question here before we get into some key players. Simple Goal says, how many players with matches do you want in your squad this week? With rotation afoot, is 11 enough?
Well, I think if we're talking just about game week 18,
yeah,
you are absolutely not in a position where you want to be taking -4 hits just to field a full 11 because you have so many Liverpool players.
Yeah.
As we were saying, like this could be a low-scoring affair in game week 18. So then you find you're adding -4s into the mix. You're going to put yourself at an even greater disadvantage, probably bringing in players that you want to, I'm going to immediately get rid of. So I think 11 or 10, so long as you keep it free, just keep it free for yourself. I think however many you can start, you're good. You're fine.
Yeah. I mean, this is something I was thinking about too, because you know, it's like I have 11 players. I guess I have 10 players right now, but that also includes Soyuncu away to Man City, Tielemans away to Man City, Cantwell starting. Like, there's a lot of risk there, you know. And so, I mean, it may depend on who your 11 is, you know. But yeah, so, but yeah, like, I think we talked about this last week too. Like, you can go crazy and you can like burn a bunch of points, and it just doesn't really. Yeah, especially burning points in defenders, it just, especially, you know, with just no one keeping clean sheets right now, that does not seem like the smart move.
If you're going to start moving players around and maybe considering a hit, make sure it's for FPL assets like Son, who we were talking about, who has a really high ceiling and a decent matchup. Otherwise, like gambling on an Aston Villa attacker, an Aston Villa defender, just for one game week, that's a harder road to travel.
Yeah. Well, I guess Aston Villa have 2 good game weeks in a row. I guess that's the one thing that makes them slightly more appealing. I guess Matt Target is a player who every time I sort of build a little set of players that I might want, you know, and I start to like kind of tinker with some transfers. Matt Target is always the one who's in that team just because he's consistently pretty attacking, and they have been okay at home, to, you know, to be fair to Aston Villa, you know, fair to Aston Villa? I don't know, but like they have been good at home at times this season. So I don't know. I guess that's like a one chit in their favor.
That's fair. Big shout out to our producer, Chris Carter, who's a big Villa fan. All right. So let's move from the captain and broader theoretical discussion into some key players for game week 18. Fahad has a quick question. Keep or sell Trent Alexander-Arnold? So you're saying, Josh, you're going to get rid of at least one of your Liverpool defenders. You have Trent and Virgil van Dijk. What are the measures that you're judging both of these players on when you look to move?
Yeah, one? Well, I mean, you know, Trent costs a million more. So I can do more if he's the player that I drop. The problem then is I know Van Dijk scored 3 goals in the season so far, but I certainly think of Trent as the larger attacking threat. And so my preference would be to keep him. But I mean, I haven't watched that Liverpool match. I don't know how they escaped with a clean sheet, because it required Sarr on Watford to fluff every single chance that he had in that match. I mean,
it was Decore.
And it was incredible luck that they didn't concede. And I think throughout the season, really with the exception of last week's Bournemouth match, and that was like the perfect time to play Bournemouth, they have just – their defense has not looked super solid. And so I really think you could consider just going without either of their defenders for the time being. I mean, it's kind of interesting. Like, you look ahead to their matches. You know, I talked before about Salah and not wanting to drop a player who I just want to bring right back in. But so Liverpool, they play, you know, they blank in game week 18. They play away Leicester in game week 19. And I think it's reasonable to expect Leicester to score in that match. They play home to Wolves in game week 20. Wolves are rarely kept from scoring a goal, right? They're just such a competent attacking team, you know. And Sheffield United, I mean, it's possible that they get something out of that match. The Sheffield United, you know, get a goal or something like that. Spurs away in game week 22. You'd expect Spurs to score in that one. So, I mean, you sort of project ahead, and, you know, game week 23, it's they play Man United at home, and you can certainly score in that one. So you look ahead and you're like, well, I think I could survive without any Liverpool defenders. You know, I think the risk there is that virtually every team in fantasy has one of their defenders. So you're suddenly watching these matches without any coverage at all, you know, and if they just so much as keep a clean sheet, it's going to hurt you in terms of your overall rank. And that is a really tricky place to be, you know, where it basically, I don't know. So, I mean, like, you know, you sort of flip things around a little bit and you could say, well, I could see them keeping a clean sheet at home to Wolves and Sheffield United in game week 2021. And suddenly you're feeling really left out without any coverage, you know? So, I mean, would you consider dropping Trent?
No, I wouldn't. Okay.
Yeah.
Liverpool, for me, it's very cut and dry. Liverpool are by far and away the best team in the league. I think season upon season, FPL history shows you, just hang your hat on the best team in the league. You'll do all right. Mm-hmm. And what you're talking just about clean sheets. The appeal of Trent this season has never been about clean sheets. It's been his attacking appeal. So I just think, for me, it's an easy hold with Trent. If you're trying to decide between Trent and Rabo, I'm biased because I have Trent, and, you know, Rabo has exhibited some pretty great form recently, but I still think Trent is going to come out ahead by the end of the season. He's just too integral to that Liverpool attack. He's too good of a player, and Liverpool are too good of a team. And
yeah,
that's how I feel.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not sure that I disagree with you there. He's not a player I really want to drop, and I suspect I won't in the end, because I know that I'm going to start the second he's out of my team, I'm going to start trying to make a plan and figure out how to bring it back into the squad, you know? So, I think I'm going to try to find a way to make him stay. And maybe if that means maybe I just don't bring in Rashford, or I don't bring in Son, you know, just that I can keep trying. It's really tricky. I mean, it feels like we're not being very definitive in this week's podcast, but I think it's yeah, the Liverpool thing is, I think, a real puzzle. And I don't know that I have any real strong answers right now. I feel like maybe I'll wait until they play their, I think their first World Club Cup match is like Wednesday or Thursday. So maybe I'll wait until they play that one, you know, see if anybody gets rotated. I'll use that as a, you know, a way to make my decision.
Listen, I'll tell you, the reason why I am where I am right now in the FPL season is that I have been dodging Liverpool for a couple of months now, and it's hurting me. And so I think the idea
I can
that
feel the pain in your 18, voice, Brendan.
Game week 18 is a moment where you can sidestep Liverpool and come back to them, you know, many weeks later. I think do that at your own peril. Liverpool will be back against Leicester, and as you say, it's an important game for them.
Yeah,
it's just going to be all systems go with Liverpool once again.
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree with you there. Yeah, maybe I just keep all three. You know, I just flip Fredericks. You know, everyone else stays. Van Dykes to watch out for says there are teams I trust and teams I don't. United are the latter. Are we sure about investing in Rashford at that price? So I actually think Rashford price is fine. I mean, a $9 million for a player with double digit goals and 5 assists in the season. The question about whether we're sure about that team, though, I think is interesting. I mean, you know, Martial is another player who is pretty tempting, you know, given his advanced position, given that he's under $8 million. Is Martial at all in your? I don't really know where you are. What are your plans for game week 18? Is there anyone you're like really targeting or that you want to bring in?
Right now, my plan is to hold my transfer. So I spent my two frees going into this game week 17. And as I've sort of been alluding to, I am preparing to move on Liverpool once we're done with this blank. So the plan is to hold my transfer for game week 18, play what I've got, just sort of roll with mm-hmm. it. And then come game week 19, I start to figure out exactly what my plan is for Liverpool assets.
Salah or Mane, who are you thinking right now?
I mean, it's hard not to be compelled by Salah's recent form. It's hard to ignore the fact that Mane has been the best player in the league for the entirety of the season. Mm-hmm. So I like the idea that we get a couple of looks at Liverpool in Qatar just to monitor minutes and form that continues with both of those mm-hmm. guys. And I'll base my decision, I think, based on what we hear from Qatar on top of what I was just mentioning.
Yeah.
So
I think that's reasonable.
I don't know. I mean, yeah. Salah has that other, as the penalty arrow in his quiver, which, you know, and he's 0.1. If 0.1 matters to you, he's a little cheaper than Mane.
Well, 0.1 matters, but I think the 20% ownership difference is a big factor too. I mean, you could flip that either way, but I think if you're having a frustrating season and you're not happy with your rank right now, then I think Salah does seem like a more appealing option, just because his ownership is so low.
It's true, and in a position where you're looking to just climb up the ranks in short order, that's definitely what you're looking
for. It's crazy because we've talked, like, after all this talk of this being the Mane season, and in some ways it still is, and you know, you got really unlucky with that VAR. You know, I don't know, a hip bone was offside or something like that. It was like, it's just increasingly.
Let's not talk about it.
Yeah, let's not talk about it.
Who cares?
But, you know, in the end, where we are right now, the difference between Salah and Mane is 3 assists for Sadio Mane. And it's kind of interesting, actually, because he's assisted away from the most he's ever had in a Premier League season. So, you know, it's Salah has now equaled him on goals. He's only 3 assists behind. They seem like they're pretty interchangeable. So, I don't know. I think I've talked a little bit about Salah already, but it just seems like his form is just incredible. And I hope one of them, you know, if both them get rested for the World Cup. You always wonder like how much this stuff, I guess like this stuff is as important as you make it out to be. But I mean, if Klopp was just like, I don't care about the World Club Cup, and I know that none of our fans do either. And then they just sort of, they bring their first team squad, but they kind of, they all play 45 minutes. They don't take it too seriously. I mean, wouldn't that be the right way to do it? I mean, no one really cares about this thing, right? Like, you're not going to brag about it at the end of the season or, you know, I don't, are there people out there listening to this podcast who care about the results of the World Club Cup? I mean, maybe I'm just too fantasy focused, but what does it prove? I don't know. It just feels kind of silly to me.
I can't remember where I was seeing this, but there were people there was somewhere online that I saw right around the Liverpool's recent must-draw Champions League match, where they were hoping that Liverpool would lose, get dumped into the Europa League to have the opportunity to win in a year, in the span of 365 days, win the Champions League, win the Europa League, win the Premier League title, win the Club World Cup. It was just like a whole trophy cabinet worth of exception. Very greedy, very greedy. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, the league title has got to be the only thing that matters at all to Liverpool, that Liverpool club at this point.
That's what worries me, is like going, you know, halfway across the world to play in this cup that no one takes too seriously, and then to play two matches in a short span. It just, I don't know, it doesn't feel worth risking 180 minutes for these guys. All right, Brian, a couple more questions. Let's treat these lightning round style. Shiva says, is it safe to sell Mane for 2 game weeks with no other pressing issues?
I mean, despite what I was just saying, I think if you have a solid, safe plan where you could maneuver Mane out and then straight back in after 2 game weeks, then I think it's worth a shot. No, it depends on I've heard of worse ideas.
Depends on what price you bought him at. You know, if you bought him at 11.5 or whatever, then you know you probably want to hold. I honestly would just hold. It's the same reason I'm holding Salah. I just don't think it's worth the risk. And if you're going to bring somebody out, and the plan is just to bring them right back in, just find some other move to make. It's putting too much. Yeah. It's putting too much pressure on 1 game week to deliver like massive results for you. And as we saw this game week, it's fluky. You just don't know what's going to happen. You know, sometimes Tammy's going to break at home the Chelsea played a Bournemouth team with like all backup defenders, and somehow they couldn't find the goal. You know, it's like, you never know what's going to happen.
You would think Son seems like the only player worth this 2 week, 2 week window without Mane. So if it's not him, then it's like, who are you bringing in that is making this plan really worthwhile for you? And it's, I don't know. There are not a lot of candidates out there.
Yeah. I thought about Salah to Son. I don't know. It just feels like something's going to go wrong if I do that. Like it's, you know, the hokey cokey something's going to go wrong and it's going to screw it up. And I don't want to put myself in that position where I'm just like hating the decision that I made, you know? So, all right. Couple more questions. Peter Fluke says, how really necessary are the Spurs assets? Especially when you factor in that KDB is undroppable, Madison and the pool defenders have to be considered as well. So, one feels pretty necessary to me. What do you think about two? Are you, you know, does 1 game week change the idea that you want to have 2 Spurs assets? you have 2 right now.
Yeah, I have Dele and Son, and it particularly in light of the fact that I have no Liverpool, it seems kind of crazy. So, I think one is good. I think Dele has come out ahead, maybe, on FPL points the last month, but Son still seems by far the most enticing asset there. I think he's the guy to get, and you have him, then I think you're covered and you don't need to worry about Dele.
Yep. I think I agree with that completely. I thought Son was defended really well. I thought Wolves did a really good job on him and forcing him out wide basically every time he touched the ball. He just looks, I mean, you know, the only concern would be if Eriksen, you know, picked up a late assist in that match, gets more minutes and, you know, it moves Son off some of the set pieces, you know, maybe that hurts his potential a little bit, but yeah, I agree. I mean, Son seems like the one, he's the one player I just don't have at all right now who I most want to have in my team. So, FPL Sizz says, what to do with Mr. Consistent, aka Jimmy? I feel like he is getting the Callum the Truth treatment. So is that the good version or the bad version? You know, because
what does that mean? I don't know.
I love Jimenez. And you must have been a little sad to let Jimenez go, right? He's a fun player to have in your team.
Yeah. The trap I fell into the last week was becoming too enamored of my team value. And boy, howdy, I am loving my team value right now, but it doesn't do anything for me. And that was the the like spark for the Jimenez to Rashford move, even though Rashford looked really appealing. But yeah, I said as much earlier in the podcast. I think it's a dead heat between Jimenez and Rashford, and hindsight being what it is, I just don't think there's enough in it if you already have Jimenez to feel like you have to move him for somebody else like Rashford. So what to do with him?
And along that line, FPL Hornet says, what to do with Tammy Abraham?
Oh, jeez. I'm feeling very targeted right now.
That's a tricky one.
That is the more interesting question.
It is. Yeah. So somebody brought this up, and I was a little surprised. I saw this on Twitter earlier today, but his record of late is not quite as strong as you would think. I sort of think of him as someone who's been kind of unstoppable in fantasy, but he did miss one match with injury, although I think that's, we'll factor that in. But that's true of a lot. People miss a match because of injury or suspension. So in the last five game weeks, he only has one goal and one assist. Blank, didn't play in a match, 12 points against Aston Villa, and then back-to-back blanks in game week 16 and 17. Not as involved in game week 17 as you would have expected. I thought he that was not a match I was watching in real time, but I watched the highlights later. I was like, I think he hit the side net earlier on, but I was expecting him to be really involved in that match. I thought he might have like a hat trick or something. Yeah. I was considering burning points to bring him in.
Right.
So it's a little surprising.
Yeah. If you do a comparison, just looking at upcoming fixtures for Jimenez, Rashford, and Tammy, who I think are all in the same bracket, Abraham's fixtures are they're really confusing, right? They have Spurs in game week 18, which we were kind of throwing shade at Spurs defense a few minutes ago. Then it's Southampton at home. You have to really like that for Chelsea. Arsenal, Brighton, Burnley, Newcastle, Arsenal again, Leicester. It's like the fixtures aren't awesome, but the fixtures aren't terrible. I do think, though, if Rashford is able to string some FPL results together over the holidays, I would plan to keep Rashford and Vardy, and then Abraham would be first on the chopping block if I'm looking to find cash.
Yep. Yeah, that makes sense.
Or get Jimenez back.
Yeah, get Jimenez back, or maybe Danny Ings, who I'm sort of finally coming around on, I don't know. I think both of us, it took us like about 3.5 months to like finally like accept that he might be an interesting
ridiculous match against West Ham, where he put the ball off the crossbar and then the post, even though he was flagged offside, and very unlucky in that match not to score.
Tough run coming up, I will say. Aston Villa, this is the thing about Matt Target, is I kind of feel like Southampton are going to score in that match. There's almost nobody that I really – okay, here's a question. This kind of goes back to an original thing that we were talking about. But when you look at game week 18, do you see a single defender worth burning 4 points on? Like just looking at all the game week 18 fixtures, is there any one team where you're like, that's the defender to have, like that, even if they're not going to get a clean sheet, they could do something in that match. I feel really confident about that one. Cause I'm not sure that I do.
You're talking about burning four on Sheffield United or Palace defenders. And that's just not advisable.
No, and Palace
probably have the two best defensive fixtures, even though they're away from home.
Yeah, and exactly. Don't burn four on a defender in a match in a road match. Is that like I think that's just like a good solid rule of thumb. Newcastle could absolutely 100% score in that game week 18 fixture. I would not be. They scored home all the time. They scored home on anybody, So it would not be surprised me if they scored in that match. That's for sure. So
I'm reading this, thinking about defenders and thinking about the Villa defense. Mm-hmm. I think Villa really misses Tyrone Mings when he's out, and he missed this week. I'm reading this quote on his thigh injury that says, quote, "Thankfully for us, Mings' thigh injury, it's not in the belly of the hamstring. Hopefully he'll be pain-free after this weekend and then can keep progressing." He's expected to be back this next game week, but I love this quote. "The pain is not in the belly of the hamstring."
God, that's so confusing.
It's pretty poetic.
Yeah. Someone's going to like invent like bionic hamstrings or something like that. And like that's going to like every offseason players are just going to go and get like a brand new like an unbreakable hamstring, and it's going to change. can change everything.
3D printed.
3D printed hamstrings. I don't even really know what a hamstring looks like. Like, can you mentally picture it in your head? I really don't. I don't know. It's hard to.
It's just like a taut muscle on the back of your thigh, right?
I think of strings. I can't help it. I think of like dangling strings. Anyway, all right. Let's take a quick break, Brandon. And we have a one question lightning round to come. All right.
Okay.
All right, Brian, we're back. We have a one question lightning round. Okay. So, but again, we'll keep this answer as short as humanly possible. Okay. As short as a human being can keep the answer to this question. All right. It's a bit long. So get ready here.
Shorter than Lucas Torreira.
Shorter than Lucas Torreira. Shane says, can you guys help contextualize the top 10K as a target? Feels arbitrary in the sense that each year becomes harder to achieve as the pool of players keeps expanding. And I think he means players playing the fantasy game keep expanding year over year. And the top 1% would be a more than respectable rank, which would take you to the top 72,000. Or even if you want to have that to account for dropouts, you call it the top 35K. So it's interesting, isn't it? The top 10K, the overall rank stuff. I don't know about you, but it feels like that has really come on as a, like this, the Hall of Fame, this like, you know, this like sort of idea of where you place in the larger sphere.
Yeah.
It's a fairly recent idea, I feel like.
You ain't shit if you haven't been in the top 10K. Yeah. I hear that. Do we need to adjust for inflation though, given that we have more than 7 million people in the game now? It's a good question. Or is it like, adjust for inflation, or is it like hyper-capitalism where the pressure is always to year on year make more and more money than you did the previous year for your shareholders? At some point, it's all going to explode in your face. So should we just accept finishing in the top 100K is the new top 10K?
Yeah.
I mean, my soft target every season is top 100K, and top 10K is just sort of a gee, that would mean I had a great season.
Yeah. I mean, I guess for me, the top 10K is the target, but if I don't finish in the top 10K, I don't really care, you know? And so it's like, so I don't mind keeping that there because I feel like I still don't think of myself. I mean, it's funny because I was just thinking about this recently. I did that like at the meet the manager thing a couple of months ago. And I have like, my worst ever finish was, I'm going to pull it up here. I finished 574,000 back in the 2013-14 season. And when I did that interview, we talked about that season for like 10 minutes on the podcast. And I was like, well, if I'd known then that like people were going to pay attention to, you know, overall rank, and maybe I would have done, you know, I wouldn't have taken so many wild risks or something like that. But that was the season when I was like stubbornly like, no, I'm not going to have Yaya Toure despite the fact that he's scoring, you know, 20 goals this season. I think it was also the Aaron Ramsey season. But I have always been mini league focused and I think both of us are, you know, feel this way. And so, you know, the top 10K to me, it should just be like it's like a goal that's out there. And if you hit it, cool. If not, I really, you know, like who cares, you know, 72,000 overall versus 130,000. It doesn't feel like that's much different to me.
Yeah, I agree. Well, it's, do I agree? What do I think about this? I don't really know.
Should your reach exceed your grasp, Brandon? You know, I mean, like, even if it gets harder, I don't mind it being a target, you know, like, yeah, you can modify it for inflation. So now we talk about the top 32K or something like that, or 30, whatever it is, you know, it's like that, but that is like, that's just, it's like, I feel like I'm being too easy on myself or something, you know, if I like, it's like, I don't need that to feel good, you know, like, so, yeah. So then why change it? You know, like and I will say that finishing the top 10K does feel like something significant, and maybe I like, in a way I almost like that it's harder than ever. I mean, it's sort of, it makes it really special if you get there, and it actually takes the pressure off if you don't, you know, because it is so hard.
Yeah. Here's the deal. I think I'm starting to come to terms with I might have a bad season. I might have my worst season this season. That may happen. And that's okay, because this day was going to come. This season was going to come. I wasn't going to finish in the top 100K every single season from here to the end of time.
Right.
It was never going to happen. I have a bad season. I'll come back next season. Next season will be hopefully a better season.
Yeah.
I don't think
a lot
that
of time
if
left
you're having a bad season,
yeah,
there is still a lot of time left for me, for sure. And this narrative could change. But say flash forward to game week 38 and I'm still, you know, 500K. That's just the way it was going to be this season. We'll come back next season and we'll do it a little different, or the season will be different. Mm-hmm. And I don't want it to be a situation where, okay, I'm having a difficult season, therefore the game must be harder.
Right.
Maybe therefore you're just having a difficult season, and that's okay, because you play this game long enough, these seasons will come.
Yeah.
Maybe the game is changing a little bit. Maybe it's because there are more, but maybe it's just that you're going to have an off season and you have to, it's hard to come to terms with that. So I don't, that's very woo woo.
No, I hear you. I think
it's just, this is a super emotional thing.
I think I agree with you because, yeah, exactly. You've never had your, just to repeat it again, Brandon, 574,830 overall. You've never had that, you know? So maybe, I think you said this on a Kitchen Table podcast recently. Sometimes, you know, losing can be helpful, you know? I mean, I sort of, when I had that my worst ever season, I did come out of it thinking to myself, okay, I am not going to be the player who doesn't have the awesome player anymore to be stubborn, you know? And that with Jamie Vardy this season, you know, five game weeks ago, I just burned four and I brought him in. You know, I didn't want to do it. I was, you know, it's funny because our friend Eric Freeman is going through this right now. He just won't bring Jamie Vardy in. And it's like at some point you just got to do it. And then you can move on to other decisions.
Yeah.
You know, it's like if you decide that you're going to be the person who doesn't bring in Jamie Vardy in this, you know, to use this example, it defines everything you do. You know, every move you make, you're constantly thinking. It's like you don't bring him in, it means you have to think about him every single week and talk about it. In some ways, he becomes even more important to you when he's not in your squad. You know, and sometimes it's better just to go with the flow a little more and play a little more defense. And so, you know, I don't know what it'll be for you. I mean, I don't think that's the problem for you. But you know, but again, yeah, this idea that like, maybe it is good to have like a rough season because it gets you to rethink the way you play a little bit or something like that. Like, you know, you don't rest on your instincts as much, or you've, I don't know, like whatever you like, you try to find a new way to be good at the game.
Yeah. Right. I do think that the game getting bigger doesn't necessarily mean the game is by percentage getting filled with that many more skilled FPL managers. It's like as everything grows, it more or less becomes filled with more Johnny come latelys. Mm-hmm. If you know what I mean. So I wouldn't be totally intimidated and put off by the growth of FPL.
Like
it's definitely a good thing.
Someone we've heard of, I know what his face looks like, is number one in the world right now by 20 points. You know, you don't need to be a full-time like fantasy manager, content creator or whatever, in order to be number one or to finish in the top, you know? So I think I'm with you there. It's not like this flood of players is all experts. I will say the flood of players is there's more people who are lucky, you know, and, that kind of, or who will just, you know, and I'm not even sure that 38 weeks is long enough to weed out that stuff, you know. I mean, a well-timed triple captain, you know, when a player, you know, if you triple captain Kevin De Bruyne this game week, that's as good a return as anyone's probably going to get in a triple captain this season, you know, or right up there. So, you know, so I think that, you know, but luck is, you want a little bit of luck in the game. It's why you get up every morning, you know, on Saturdays, not knowing what's going to happen that day. It's part of the fun of it, you know, is, you know, just not knowing what's
like life just on planet Earth right now, I think.
Yeah, exactly. You check Twitter and you have no idea what's about to go down.
is the eastern half of the planet still there?
Yep.
I'm not sure.
Yep. So, yeah. So I guess, I don't know. So I guess just, I don't know if there's like a way to sum this up or not, but for me, 10K is definitely the target. I think it's good. You know, it's interesting because going into the season, I had a really good year. Both of us did, had a really good season last year. And so I was really ambitious with my goal this season. And I was like, I want to finish the top 500. You kind of want to push on from the season before. And that was definitely a mistake. And I wish I hadn't thought that way, because it put me in a position where I was like immediately unhappy.
You're constantly devastated.
Yeah, I was constantly devastated. Like, I was immediately bummed out with how my season was going. And, 2 weeks into a 38 game week season, and that's not fun. It's not healthy. It's not, so I think 10K is like that's the only target I want to set for myself moving forward. Anything above that is just gravy,
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. Well said.
Good.
All right. I mean, we've pretty much previewed game week 18 throughout the heart of the show. So we'll sort of just leave it at that.
Yeah. It was a 30-second answer to that lightning round question. I think we went through that pretty fast. So that's always good too.
Great question, Shane.
So that's the podcast. Game Week 18 is coming up. We'll be talking on the Always Cheating Slack on Twitter, and you can also email us if you have any questions. You can message us at I'm skipping ahead, Brandon. We'll do the producer thank yous in just a second here. But
I love this unconventional setup.
Yeah. You can email us hailcheaters@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter @hailcheaters, Instagram @hailcheaters, Facebook is facebook.com/alwayscheating. Website has all this information and more. It's alwayscheating.com. Please rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or Spotify. A lot more people are on Spotify than ever before. I've been listening to more podcasts on Spotify than ever before. There's also Google Play, Stitcher, Acast, and a million other places where you can listen to our podcasts. And, Brandon, we mentioned this before, earlier podcast in December, but December is like our little mini pledge month. If you are able to do it and you can kick a little couple dollars into the can and send them our way, you can go to patreon.com/alwayscheating to do that. Brandon, you want to thank our producers?
Yeah, big thanks to our producers, Trevor Ingerson, Mike DePietro, Chris Howell, Andy Penn, Chris Carter, Martin Savage, Brian T, the Big Gaffer, Bob Ascoon, Jeff Husby. Kind of screwed myself taking a deep breath early on in that list. See if I can get back into it. Ben Grant, James Holland, Jazz Binning, Dave Wagner, Lodahl, Nick Wright, Jim Payne, Brian Chin, Blair Jacobson, Frederick Kean, Gransky, Travis West, Alan Creasy, Victor Forberg, Skoging, Paul Herzig, Kaya Christine Lalang, Stian Niehaus, Barry McGuire, Peter Bodactel, Andy Portlock, and Toothless Gibbon. Thanks to you guys. Oh, and Andy Martin. I don't want to leave Andy Martin off. Perhaps the best producer we could have ever hoped for. Big ups to Andy. Thank you to all of you. Whether you're a supporter, a producer, or what have you, we just appreciate you listening and tuning in and interacting with us in the FPL community. And on behalf of myself, I'll wish you all a good luck in Game Week 18. Josh, what are your last words?
I wish everybody the best of luck as well. I just wanted to note that we will be doing a podcast before Game Week 19. We're planning to do one next weekend. After that, it'll be a little tricky through the holidays, but we'll keep everyone posted on social media about what we're doing and what our plans are. So, but definitely we'll have one for you next week.
Boom. Poku forever.
Hail cheaters.